We are Sports 56, WHBQ Memphis, and W253 DF Memphis with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. It's Friday, folks. We made it to the weekend. It's here. We got some NBA action. In fact, we got championship basketball, Stanley Cup drama, MLB stars making MVP and Cy Young cases, NFL storylines, and heating. It's heating up over there, baby. And college baseball's fight towards Omaha for the World Series. So let's get it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go after it today. And I feel like the biggest storyline still remains the NBA Finals, of course. And after New York came back from 14 down in the third, then the Spurs came back and took a one-point lead with 3 minutes left to go in the game. And then the Knicks just showed, we've been here, we done that, we veterans, we grown-ass men, and outscored them 11-0 in the final 2 minutes of the basketball game for a 10-point victory. We talking all things today, and it's a great thing because we have the historian, Jay Hamm, in the house. What's up, Jay?
What is good, my brother?
You're going to have to turn that mic on. We also have, of course, my producer extraordinaire, my man Jared Jefferson.
What's up? My bad, J-Ham.
Hey, it's all right, man. It's okay. It's a Friday, man.
Keep rolling. Let me check on our guests.
Go check on your guests. Now, we got everything, like I said, that is getting ready to get buck up in this bad boy, because tonight, again, game two of the NBA Finals in San Antonio. I hate to say this to y'all. Darian Newsom, Action News 5's producer extraordinaire. Well, remember what he said? Spurs in five. Well, they better win tonight if his dreams want to come true. But I sure don't think you're going to go steal two of them in New York with those rabid fans and the way that Jalen Brunson and Kat and Bridges and OG and everybody and their grandmother's playing right now. Like, you just got to say, this is going to be a war. I still feel it's going seven. I always want to know what you think at the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line, where life's too short for ordinary jewelry. 901-360-8255. Man, we got people already texting in. Spurs have to start fast if they do win. If they start slow, they seem to play really out of sync. Well, also, they're just going to have to play confident. They're going to have to play concise. They're going to have to know in crunch time, if that thing's tight in the final 2 minutes, that you actually have to execute your offense instead of just looking at each other like, who's going to make a play? Who's going to make a play?
But it's also how they play fast, because we've seen them start off fast time and time again, and them legs just give out on them at the end of to be honest, the second quarter, right before halftime.
My goodness, man, I just saw a mountain of a human being. I looked to my right, and he's standing over me, scared the hell out of me. I ain't going to lie. Big homies in the house. We also have a lovely young lady we'll be talking to here a little bit shortly. But again, we got a very busy program. And Jared, I did want to ask you one other question, because you still play basketball. You're 25 years old. You're a hoops head. You watch the WNBA, the NBA. You go down and play all over the town. You play like in every damn church around the city, don't you? Or every church around the city. Sorry about that. And every community center. So when you watch the final 2 minutes of execution by the Spurs, What were you thinking? I was
thinking. They got to stop letting Wimby run the offense. That's why he had 6 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
When you can tell when De'Aaron,
it's De'Aaron Fox being on the court in the final 2 minutes, not 100%. When you got Dylan Harper, who was playing like a madman, I thought that was an absolutely huge mistake in that game. And again, though, this is Mitch Johnson's first finals ever. Yes, he's got Pop in his corner. Yes, Timmy, he's around there. Yes, the Spurs are a great organization. Last time they won this bad boy was just in 2014. I mean, the Knicks hadn't done it since 73, hadn't been back to the finals since 99. So it's just like, man, this New York team, this whole city, New York, they just thirst trapping over this championship. And again, to win 12 straight games. And the funny thing is, to win a finals game by 10 points and bring your average winning margin down is absolutely buck wild.
I got a real stat for you. Jalen Brunson is the third player all time to be drafted in the second round with a 30-piece in an NBA final.
And he shot like complete
– shot like
– ass.
Almost pretty much a 30-piece there too.
Until it came down to the biggest buckets at the biggest times.
But like Biggie said, stay low in shootouts and keep firing.
Facts.
Indeed, he did. The Bulldog, man, he's a Bulldog, you know. And when it's money time, he cashing checks.
Well, he knows he's going to be cashing a lot of checks if they keep playing like this. That's Cat. And again, I know he's cashed many, many checks. He's got mad, mad money. What I'm just talking about, it's not just the cash that he's going to get. It's the respect, because I felt the way he went at Wimby and used his speed to hook him and basically get around him and get to the rack was one of the big differences. I don't think Wimby did defensive – wizard, he's a block shot and machine.
Well, he can guard the perimeter, but it's something you don't necessarily want to have him do all game, because you're gonna wear them legs down.
Yep, and when you got no legs, you got no lift, and them legs skinny. Yep. And he's 7'4".
And those legs had a lot of wear,
It started. I don't care what anybody says. A lot of people don't forget that Portland. That was a physical series.
Spurs went to him. You feel me?
I mean, Denny was going downhill the whole damn time.
Man. Them hits add up. Them bumps add up. And then he
just ask Jim McMahon.
Exactly.
So terribly mean. But.
I mean, but you're right. He's the one dude that actually tried to correct his CTE. So to your point, you're right.
But it's just, I don't know what it is. I said this before the finals. Western Conference champs are going to win it all. I looked at the East as basically the JV.
You took like Darian.
But did I change my mind?
Spurs at 5. I love y'all.
Speaking of.
There goes D. He's back to Channel News 5. The thing is, though, is New York, the way they've been playing, and again, and I don't care what you say, like Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Spider-Man.
They're bumping.
Like, James Harden had he could not stay in front of. Every time they switched, OG. I mean, shoot, Jalen Brunson worked that boy so bad the other night in that fourth quarter, game 1-2, especially when they were up 22. All they did is keep going right at James Harden's chest. And James was playing on skates. He was flat-footed and getting worked.
He's what your boy Mo Schefter will refer to as an uninterested defender. That's exactly what it is. He don't even have the interest in it. It's nothing, unless you go just going to literally hand him the basketball, where he going to get his steals from?
Stephon Castle also didn't hold him a lot in game one. And it seems as if they didn't have him on him to avoid him getting in foul trouble.
I'll tell you one thing, though. If they don't figure out how to box out Josh Hart, Lord have mercy. What was it, 16 boards in game one, tapping everything? 15?
15 and 4 steals.
Man, I mean, I don't care. Like, you don't even have to score, bro. Just keep playing like that. And, again, I was telling all the kids out there, you might not be able to shoot like Steph Curry. You might not hit the genetic lottery like a Victor Wembanyama. But if you go out there and do the little things that a lot of people don't want to do, rebound, set screens, facilitate basically the offense in transition, get it to the right guy, and always be in somebody's britches. And I don't know too many men who won't be up in another man's britches for, 48 minutes, but that's what he will do.
You say in the britches, I say in his chest. It's a little safer.
It's a lot safer, isn't it? But we do have a fire game. The one thing is, remember how San Antonio, first game, that line opened up at 4.5, went down to 3.5, shot back up to 4.5, and again,
they know what they doing.
I grabbed that 7. Today, right now, we're sitting at 6.5. I said that's all I wanted was 6.5 in game one.
I could give you a reason why and reason why not. The reason why, the Spurs will have ref help. Tonight, yeah, they will. Reason why not, because if they ain't making shots like they was in game one, their ref help won't matter. Especially if, because the Knicks going to be, they're going to come out and be physical again anyway.
I expect both offensive to be much more efficient tonight.
I think so. I think they're going to settle down. You know, everybody, you know, make the adjustments in the whole deal. It won't be what they shoot in the first game, 30 and 40% somewhere in their both teams. Just, nah. It'll pick itself up, though, a little later.
I had to pull this up to see how bad their field goal percentage was not Gucci. But if you look through the basically the playoffs, again, both teams have been locking it down and taking care of business. I mean, if you look at the statistics, they're about as even as anything you can say. The problem is that we have is one other thing is people not talking about. I know Jalen Little, but nobody else is. I mean, did you see the sixth man of the year? Was he even able to play? They took the cowboy and put his belt buckle on his cowboy boots and his big old bucket hat on the sideline and only let him play 8 minutes in game one.
But that's because he was playing outside of his game.
Outside of his game. Mm-hmm. He had to play outside of his game, which a lot of them going to have to do right now because they don't come with, like, a true power forward.
But it hurts them. It hurts them when, even in last series, when Vassell is on and Champagne is off.
Yeah.
Or when Champagne is on and Vassell is off. They need both of them going at the same time if they're going to take this game tonight.
I don't think you can complain realistically. Like, Champagne hit 5 damn threes in the first game.
Right. And Vassell was off. But
what did Vassell end up shooting that game?
He only made 1 3.
So he was like
4 of 11 total.
Oof. Yeah, that
that's what I'm saying. In the Thunder series and the Western Conference Finals, he had a big game, and Champagne was off of 3 games.
Yeah.
Do you see them shooting 43 threes again, or do you think that Mitch is going to have them get that damn ball in the paint?
I hope he get that ball in the paint. They need more.
You got to play inside.
They need more
out.
Backdoor screens for Wimby so he can be in that paint.
Set some screens like Mitch,
so
man.
He can stop coming out
bad pinky
and
all.
Being in pick and rolls above the 3-point line when he's exhausted. Yeah,
what you do with Victor as opposed to like putting him on a block and having him stationary post? You have him just be in motion and you go high. Just feed him up high. He can turn and assist. Because he's not going to play with his back to the basket anyway. He's going to turn the face up.
And Landry Shamet, by the way, for the Knicks, man, he got a lot of run in game one.
He due for a payday this summer, too.
Dude, you ain't lying.
He about to get paid, Chief.
Man, I think he ended up hitting
hit a couple big ones, too.
Big threes, I remember. He played great. I was shocked that he even got 33 minutes in that game. I mean, you got to think about it. He played more minutes than OG. He played more minutes than Hart. He played more minutes than Bridges.
5 of 9, 3 of 6 from 3.
That's why he was on that court.
He's out there fouling people and everything. Just saying. Man, 4 fouls. But he got quality minutes, though, in those 33 minutes.
What do you expect to see from De'Aaron Fox? Is Mitch going to sit there and make that decision and say, look, you are the fastest dude when you're healthy, and right now 70% you ain't you.
You can't mentally break him.
But you got to get that young buck Dylan Harper in when it comes down to them.
At times, you can play them together because Swiper can still defend. That's the part of it. It's just the part that's killing him is that he's taking some bad shots. Like Jared mentioned yesterday, some of the shot selection and condition.
Well, he usually gets the massive separation when he goes around somebody and literally stops on a dime. He's usually like dudes running this way, back foot. He's got 3 feet of separation, a little bitty bunny from the corner. Bam.
Hence you refer to the 70% ankle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That he's not all the way live like that right now.
Can't stop on a dime when you got a bad wheel.
But even
the open shots that he get, he got to make them.
Even on that 70%, he's still the fastest guy on the court when he's on the court. So he needs to be cleaned up veteran guard. When it's going awry, call a timeout, sub either Harper or Castle out, and yeah, let them run with De'Aaron Fox.
He not hit me with a stat this morning, though. He said that coming after a loss, the Spurs' average win margin is 25. So they coming back and they responded in violent fashion. And usually they all come back with Wimby setting the tone early. 8-10 point first quarter.
We getting Wemby first bucket.
He get it going. You know, if he get it going early, then it's setting the same template that we seen pretty much throughout the playoffs with them following loss.
But with the best closer in all of basketball being Jalen Brunson currently, especially through this playoff run.
Yeah. Right now, yeah.
I mean, is there a better closer in basketball right now than Jalen Brunson?
Outside of Steph Curry, maybe no.
sorry, Steph, your best year's behind you, bro.
I mean, but he's got he's still in basketball. He can still close your game.
He can still close out games.
I mean, for the stage, yeah. For your question, absolutely. Who else is there?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this also guys, you know, the 6'2 dude that when he left Dallas, everybody was making fun of New York for giving him $100 million. Man, that's a cheap ass contract for the way he's been playing.
He's made fools of everyone that did.
Luka don't close games when he
helps. Yeah, Luka closed games too.
Luka's been injured. I'm not talking about a dude who spent the last 25 games on the damn bench, bro. I mean, Luka, go make sure you work out.
Man. We gave you the question.
There are only two teams left playing.
In the playoffs, then.
Who's the greatest? Who's been the best closer in basketball throughout the playoffs? I can't think of anybody else. Nah, JB.
Yeah.
And dude, to do it in New York, oh my God, he's going to have a good life, isn't he?
I'm trying to tell you.
If you don't have to pay for your food and drinks in New York, man.
He ain't paying for that now, no way. You got to think. That's the captain. He ain't paying for that.
Go into the nicest restaurant. Got a few billionaires off of Wall Street coming up in there.
Patrick Ewing ain't even paying for that. He ain't win nothing. They still love Pat, though.
Man, that's not his fault. That's Pat's fault. Was there's Mike.
I mean, Mike and Akeem.
And Dream, yeah.
And bad knees.
Bad knees, man, that's one thing.
You can blame Reggie for the last one.
Bad knees have messed up a lot of people. Think about Greg Oden. Heck, you talk about Wimby's doppelganger from way back when. The one who would have been Wimby if he didn't. Sampson. Ralph Sampson.
Oh, yeah. Ralph was. That's the thing, though. It's like.
Grant Hill.
Ralph.
Grant Hill injuries, yeah, oh man. God. Robbed him.
Because with Ralph.
Penny.
Brandon Roy.
Penny. Right here in Memphis.
I mean, right here in the city with Penny. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's just, you know, injuries are real. But right now, JB, man, he is just playing at another level. I'm not saying I'm taking the Knicks, but I will tell you who I'm taking today at about 12:45 in the last segment. I got Wood because it feels so good. It's Friday. Who we got? Oh, we got T-Money and Brasky today.
Degenerate Hour, yes, sir.
And what do we have next?
I mean, of course, it's the one and only.
Mo Schefter. Views from the 22. It's time to talk a little bit of football. We got a lot of NBA funny stories from what's happened this week in the world of sports. And I'm sure one of you two guys have got something on your favorite girl, Caitlin, huh?
She's so garbage.
I love me some Sophie, though. Did you see them long legs walking up into that arena? I only watch the WNBA when they're walking into the facility. They be dressed to the nines, man. Lord have mercy. We're going to take a quick timeout. Come back in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. Don't you dare touch that dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
What's up, Jordan? How's life?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, before we get into things, because we're just going to be just a little touch. I know you're an NBA fan. Mm-hmm. When you saw Game 1, the way that the Spurs in the final 2 minutes couldn't generate any type of offense. You saw the execution through the Knicks and big game Brunson came through. What were you thinking realistically to yourself? Like, is this a situation where you got a veteran club who's been there, who's done that, who's seasoned, who's sharpened and experienced, and just basically a young team full of young talent who hasn't been there and done that? Or did you see something different?
What I saw was Wemby forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's this big shot guy. He's this 7'5" alien on
yes,
the court.
Yes, he is.
So we know that he can go out there and get his shots, but I feel like he was forcing it. If he didn't get his long self in the paint and get the shot over somebody instead of forcing up a three in the corner or forcing up a shot just willy-nilly, go in the paint, get your shot off.
Set more screens for him like we talked about. Like, quit looking at each other in the final 2 minutes of the game. I mean, you had everybody basically standing around the perimeter and Wemby just dribbling. Mm-hmm. Dribble, 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 dribble. I know he got handles. I know he's 7'4". I know he's a 7'5 freak. I know he shoots threes. I know he can get to the rack. I want him down low. I want a force, cat, or Hart or OG or Mitchell, anybody who's doing whatever it is that they're doing, to make sure that he ha- like I'm going to make them foul. I'm going to get to the free throw line if I'm Wimby. I'm going to shoot over the top of somebody. I'm going to be where it makes it a lot more easy for me than just standing out there and try to break somebody off. I don't know if you know. Yes, he can dribble.
He just need to be on the move.
But he ain't Pistol Pete.
He just need to be on the move.
Mm-hmm.
That's more, like I said, you don't want to have him stationary.
Hell, Kevin Durant, he, like, I know he wants to sometimes play like KD, mm-hmm. but you are not KD. You know what I mean? I know you want to play like him sometimes, but you're bigger and you're different.
I tweeted the same thing. Like, you're not Kevin Durant. He's in.
Did you really?
I tweeted the same thing.
I love my girl.
I said, you are not Kevin Durant. You need to get out there and force yourself. It's 2 minutes left in this game. You're down, what, they're like 2 points. They were down two. Mm-hmm. And you're forcing your shot out on the perimeter. Get out there. He had 13 free throws. Get out there and get more.
And, you know, they love to blow the whistle for him, especially in San Antone. But now it is time to talk with Mo Schefter. He is my homie. He is my friend.
He's a Spurs fan, too.
Is he really? Yeah. I did not know that Mo was a Spurs fan either.
He's an honest guy. He's just like Timmy D.
He's just like Timmy D. Yeah. I got you. That makes a whole lot of sense. First and foremost, Mo Schefter, Views from the 22. What is up, my brother?
Listen, man, it is a beautiful Friday. I'm loving this conversation that we've been having the first half hour. I think the only one I know that's not having a good Friday is Scottie Scheffler. Everybody else is having a good Friday.
Ooh, wait. On the golf course, Scottie just blowing up right now?
Bro, he's about to go to plus three. The cut is plus four.
Scottie?
He is having. He had a huge meltdown yesterday because he went in the water, and he's just been playing like garbage.
All I can honestly tell you is I played golf, what was it? 2 weeks ago with Eli and all them. That's a hard-ass game, bro.
It is.
Think you hit the most perfect shot in your life. And you're like, yeah, I'm Tiger Woods, y'all. I'm Tiger Woods. And then the ball lands and it goes like, you're like, how did it go 8 feet over the dead gum green? Or you hit something perfect and it's 20 yards short. And you're like, what the bleep? That's a tough, tough game, man. The National Football League is a game that is very, very tough, very, very physical. We've now got 18 weeks, 17 games. We got monsters leaving purgatory and going to L.A. And then we got a place which we call purgatory, and that's Cleveland, of course. The river is on fire. The Browns. I mean, just think back up to Bernie Kosar. Think about it to Ernest Biner. Like, think about how many number one quarterbacks. You got Tim Couch. Oh, my God, don't forget about Johnny Manziel. I need a bump. Like, they've, like, oh, God, Brandon Whedon.
One thing we know about the Browns, they will brown.
They will brown. Getting Deshaun Watson and all that guaranteed money after he had an Instagram model issue with a little bitty towel. Like, Cleveland has made more mistakes than I have, like, in my 20s. And it is kind of embarrassing, but I'm wondering, with bringing in Todd Monken from Baltimore, from kind of the changes that they've made, is there any way that getting these draft picks, a young Jared Verse, and get rid of the nastiest man on planet Earth right now, Myles Garrett, actually going to benefit the Browns going forward?
I don't think it is, Johnny. I don't think it is. I think
so. Browns going brown.
I think, yeah. Like for a while, it seemed like they were on the verge of having the turntables turn, and then they went and gave Deshaun all that money, and it's been downhill ever since. And it seems like there's a lot of disconnect now, organizationally, like more than ever, believe it or not, from the top down. And then you have a head coach. Look, I understand.
He was an offensive coordinator in college and in the pros. Again, where is Todd's head coaching experience?
You know, I think Todd is the type of person, like, he can be the head accountant of a company, but he can't run the company.
Well, he forgot he only handed the ball off to his running backs in that game with Kansas City in the playoffs when you had the number one rush offense in all of football, and ran the ball eight damn times in a defensive beast.
Throughout the entire season, that spilled over into last year. Throughout the entire year last year with Derrick Henry, there were so many situations where he just disappeared. And you're trying to do a running back by committee. That's one thing I don't like. I don't like people who think there's a cookie cutter format to how to do things. And he is under the belief that you need a running back by committee. You got Derrick Henry. The only thing the other running back needs to do is make sure his shoes are tied, his helmet is intact, and he's got enough hydration. Okay, you don't need to have a committee when you got Derrick Henry. You need to have people who are willing to maybe take a couple carries from him, but we don't need committees. I don't need the other, I can't remember his name now, having 13, 14 carries a game while Derrick Henry's also getting 17. We don't need that. Give Derrick Henry 28. Give the other guy 3, you know. So I'm not optimistic about Todd Monken. I'm not optimistic about the organization. I think they are going to miserably fail by starting Deshaun Watson and possibly even extending Deshaun Watson.
Oh, my Lord.
So, I know, bro. I know. But I am telling you this. Motivated people are dangerous. Driven people are successful. Motivated people can be dangerous. And Deshaun Watson right now is motivated
for
to get
another contract.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because his first one went to all of the victims.
Yeah.
And what is her name? What's that girl's name? Jilly, whatever, his girlfriend. She like money.
Hey.
Because she likes to spend it.
As Ham will say, some of these things are just business transactions.
There you go.
I mean, you only stick with a guy who had 40 daggum Instagram models giving him massages with happy endings like he was Robert Kraft at the Orchid Day Spa. Stick with that man unless you like his money.
Brother, as Jay-Z once said, ain't no such thing as an ugly billionaire.
It's real talk.
That's a fact. I mean, you got to remember the one that Jimmy G, remember Robert Kraft's girlfriend that Jimmy G knocked up?
Yeah,
and Robert Kraft ended up, paying for her to play still.
And packed Jimmy G up.
And then said, Jimmy, enjoy San Francisco. I'm moving you across the country because I can.
Which didn't help because Jimmy got all hooked up with all type of adult actresses.
Sure
when
did.
He went to California.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I don't understand why you would want to. Man, I want me like a nobody that knows, sweet girl who's going to make sure that I can get to work on time and lay my clothes out because I'm colorblind as hell.
you know, little transparency here. I once dated a girl as a grown man. She's a grown woman who would, we had like a little swear jar. That's the type of woman I need to go back to in life.
One that holds immediate accountability.
Mo.
Yes.
Speaking from recent experience, don't do it, brother.
That's my young buck Jared.
Don't do it, brother. I had one of those back in January. Don't do it, brother.
Hey, got a question for you also, though, because we talked about the Browns constantly browning and stuff. And for the next 4 years, I just wanted to ask you, Myles Garrett over the next 4 seasons, Jared Verse plus the first round next year draft pick, the first second round draft pick in 2028 and the third round draft pick in 2029 over the next 4 seasons. I mean, Myles Garrett and the Rams are winning this trade, right?
Yes. They're going to get a Super Bowl out of it. You know what I mean? That's breaking news. Spoiler alert. Now, Jared Verse is going to get a big contract.
Dude,
you know
he was defensive
mean?
Player, a rookie of the year, wasn't he? He's been to one Pro Bowl. I know that. I mean, he's a great young edge rusher, but there is nobody like Miles. He had more, not just sacks, but tackles for losses in the last 6 years. And it was by such a large margin, I can't remember the number I was watching. It's just Peter Schrager, I can't stand him. When he opens his mouth, instead of listening to the stats, I keep wondering, how do you wear that much makeup on television, bro? But anyway, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering, is Cleveland, are they going to tank this year? I mean, they got Dylan Gabriel last year, and Jared Verse already took his number, which I thought was hilarious. Shador, they brought him in, and they drafted him after freaking little tiny lefty out of Oregon, Dylan Gabriel, which was crazy. You have Deshaun Watson now, who's back healthy. Are they actually realistically, you said they might re-sign Deshaun Watson, or are they just going to tank because they're going to go look at, I listed, I think, 20 quarterbacks yesterday, just off the top of my dome,
right,
who could be absolutely studs. This could be one of the deeper NFL quarterback prospect draft. Like next year, I'm looking at this. This is the one thing that you can say that the NIL has done to help the NFL, because you got the, you know, you Fernando Mendoza would never have been the number one draft pick had that kid stayed out in what, Cal or UCLA. Where was he? West Coast. Cal. He was at Cal. That's what I thought. Yeah, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to notice Mendoza, but, you know, Kurt Cignetti brings him in there, brings in a bunch of grown-ass men, and you saw what the grown-ass men have done the last two seasons. They've only lost one game and got a natty.
Championship.
Yeah, and it was impressive. Yeah. But next year, again, like, we can talk about just, like, Arch and everybody else and Trinidad Chambliss, but it is a – I mean, there are just so many guys with so much experience and so much talent. I mean, C.J. Carr in Notre Dame's another guy. There's a lot of them out there. Who could be that guy? Is this what the Browns are hoping to ruin another great prospect?
Yeah, you said it. We'll talk. I'm with CJ Carr is on my radar as well. I'm curious to see what kind of year he has. But no, I'm with you. Like, again, I do not see any way for the Browns. They can't keep doing what they're doing. And I think if they go out and get another quarterback next year, God bless them. Like, God bless them, because I don't see a foundation. I don't see structure. I don't see a 5-year plan like that dude from Big Daddy. If y'all remember that movie, like I don't see nothing except for non football people repeating the same formula and hoping for a different solution. And that's just not going to happen again. Like you can't have certain people in certain situations that they don't understand. Like. Football is not won on a chalkboard. Football is not won with an algorithm. Football is won with people, with a culture, with structure, with plans. And I just don't see that in Cleveland. So I don't think they're going to tank this year, to answer that question directly. Quite the opposite. I think
they're going to go out there and try to win, but just end up tanking because they are the Browns.
Johnny, if Deshaun Watson plays well in September, you watch them use one of their high draft picks to get a receiver. In the middle of the season, and that's it. And then Shadur's going to be gone, and Dillon Gabriel, he's going to remain wherever he's doing right now as an NFL quarterback. And then they might just stick with Deshaun Watson and go forward with Deshaun Watson for the next 3 years, which I know sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but I think the Browns see it that our best sensible 3-year plan is if Deshaun Watson plays like the Deshaun Watson that we once knew. And I was a huge fan of Deshaun coming back. This is the NFL. You can't just step back into it and expect to be the same. He's been basically irrelevant in the NFL for the last 3 to 5 years. He's not going to just step back in there. I'm finally healthy. I'm motivated to play. I can take this team where it needs to be. Nah. So what they should do is use all those draft assets and make sure they get the right quarterback at whatever cost. But that's not going to happen. Because why? The Browns, they shall brown. Okay, the only Brown I want anything doing for me is UPS.
I love that. What can Brown do for you? But this is FedEx City, baby. Fred, RIP, we love you. Let's go, FedEx! Hey, one other quick question. I'm going to take a quick time out. I got literally a 60-second break we're going to take. And when I come back, I want to ask you about Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and the fact that the Packers went out there and just now extended Christian Watson to a $110.5 million deal. You heard that Reed signed a 3-year extension back in April. I think late April that was for, what, $50 million? Are these the two guys that are going to help Jordan Love go to the next level or help Matt LaFleur get to where they are? I mean, we had a Favre, we had a Rodgers, and now we have a Love. Are they going to get to where they're supposed to be, or at least that quarterback lineage has been? Because Jordan Love does have more talent in his pinky finger than most. It's just consistency and consistently, like, being that dude. And a couple of times I just feel like, Jordan, sometimes when there's nobody there, don't force it. You're athletic as all get up. Pull that ball down and run sometimes. I want to see CJ do that a little bit more. We saw him doing the postseason, and just linebackers are dropping in those damn zones immediately once he steps back. And that is hurting you. Make them look at you as an actual weapon. Like, I'm telling you, bro. There ain't no statues with big old Dan Marino knee pads on anymore. You know what I mean? Like, dude, just like getting the ball and zoom. Yeah, no, it's a little different.
Not enough testaverdes.
Need a little wiggle in you. But we're going to talk about that more with Mo Schefter Views from the Tent 22. We also have my girl Jordan Evans in the house, Jared, and, of course, the historian Jay Ham. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're putting in a little bit of work, man. We're doing a little NFL off-season and spring cleaning or summer cleaning or whatever the heck it is. And we're talking with Views from the 22's very own Mo Schefter. Mo works about as hard as anybody. He's like a Jay Ham. He's like a little Jared. He all be working. He ain't like, they ain't like me. He just talks a lot. But, man, if you want somebody that works, if you want serious, serious vans for serious workers, have I got you, baby. 4430 American Way, that's Mercedes-Benz Van Center. They got all the vans from cargo, passenger, crew, custom chassis. You name it, they got it. You want a fleet of vans, they got you. You need one van, they got you. You need a used van, they got you. Whatever you need, they have you. And they have certified techs to keep you moving fast because their maintenance ain't no joke. Plus, they have the largest parts inventory right there at 4430 American Way here in Memphis. Mercedes-Benz Van Center is your Sprinter Vans headquarters. Go to SprinterVans.com. Mercedes-Benz Van Center, part of the Tag Truck Center family. It's driven to keep you on the road. Now it's time to get back to my man, Mo Money, Mo Taxes, Mo Problems, Mo Schefter. What up, Mo?
Hey, I just texted the Sissy's Log Pad that Scotty Scheffler is now in danger of missing his first cut in 2022.
Maybe he just wants a weekend off.
You know, maybe. But this is Jack Nicklaus's tournament that he's won twice in a row, you know, and this is kind of like a, it's not a major, but it's sort of like a honorary major.
Pay homage to the old homies from the past.
Yeah, and you get to shake his hand at the end of the tournament. It's a pretty cool, and it's a beautiful golf course in Dublin, Ohio.
Damn,
I'm a big golf fan, Johnny.
They got like in Dublin, Ireland?
No, it's in Dublin, Ohio.
I didn't know they had that in Ohio.
Bro, so Ohio is weird because Ohio has
a lot
of names.
Yeah, they have urinals in every men's restaurant. They don't have, like, I don't understand why men's restrooms in Ohio look like women's restrooms. Like, that does not make sense. I stand up, bro.
We're going to need Josh Storms on this one. We're going to need his input. Josh or Germ? Ask Germ why that is.
Man, I've never, like, when you go to a sporting event, you notice the women's restroom line, sadly, is always longer. Not in Ohio. I missed the second quarter of the dadgum Tennessee-Ohio State butt-whipping because I was waiting in a line forever to use a urinal. I mean, a stall, unfortunately.
To be honest, you ain't missed much that night.
Yeah, that's true, man. It was a cold, bad night for Vols fans.
They beat them folks in the first quarter.
They sure did. That was ugly. Now, I was bringing up a little bit about Green Bay, man. You know, they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. They had Jordan Love. He's a stud. They bring him in. He is a pimp player. He has got all the skills and all the attributes. The thing is, man, his wide receiving core, I thought, has been pretty mid-grade lately. They bring in a bunch of young guys on a pretty much a reg. Like, you look over in Minnesota, Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, you're like, nope, y'all don't have that Green Bay. Heck, I look over at Detroit, and I say, my man's got more weapons. The big dude, my brain is totally not working. Jared Goff. I said, Jared Goff, I mean, he has got Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's got Jameson Williams. I know I'm forgetting some other good wide receivers. But when I look at Green Bay, I feel like their wide receivers might be the weakest. Am I crazy? And they gave $151 million to their two?
You're not crazy because even the Bears, especially when you take into account their tight end.
Yeah.
They have a better
room. Ain't no joke.
Yeah, they I mean, even they have a better room. Now, look, what they lost that that baby Gronk that was, as they started calling him last year, the tight end, Tucker Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a big loss. But see, okay,
they got Cole Kmet to come back him up, like with Colton Loveland, too, in the Bears
territory.
Yeah,
right. No, yeah, I'm talking about Tucker Kraft.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm a vent a little bit here because I'm glad you brought up the Packers. Can I vent a little bit about the Packers?
Let's go.
It was so frustrating watching them last year because, number one, their biggest issue was injury. Like, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Tucker Kraft, I would love to see how many snaps they actually all took together while on the field. That's number one. Number two, Jordan Love is literally the thin line between love and hate because sometimes you love him, sometimes you hate him. Sometimes he does things exactly as they're supposed to be done, and other times he channels the ghost of Brett Favre, not the welfare cash and check.
Not the welfare stealing, but the one who would throw interceptions like a madman.
Right. And send bad pictures on a flip phone. anyway. So
and a flip phone at that, dude. Like, how could you even tell what it is? It's a flip phone.
Oh, my God, yo. Anyways, it comes out looking like Godzilla on an anime. Anyways, let me digress here. The third thing, LaFleur, bro, there are so many games, so many situations, so many drives where I ask myself, what's the purpose? What's the intention? What was the thought process in coming up with this game plan? And then sometimes the adjustments either don't happen or happen too late. And the biggest one of all, my biggest frustration with the Green Bay Packers offense last year was their inability to incorporate Matthew Golden, who is the best wide receiver on their roster.
And for some reason, they force feed Christian Watson and Jalen Reed, and you got the young kid, and by the way, when he was drafted, you know, the first time I had drafted a wide receiver in the first round, like he came out on stage. I feel like wasn't it in Green Bay, that draft?
It was in Green Bay.
Yeah, dude. Like, man, when he came out, man, he had he had everything. And the dude only got, 29 balls last year or something?
And he had like 10 in one game. And that was a game that they won because of him. And everybody else was injured. And you want Amon-Ra St. Brown impact? Okay, I'm not going to go Jettas, but you want that type of impact? You find a way to get this dude the ball. You make him the staple of your offense. He is the most talented receiver that you have. Now, the Christian Watson contract, okay, on paper, $110 million is crazy, but I think it's only 31 guaranteed.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, no, he got a $31 million signing bonus, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the guarantees are yet.
Mm-hmm.
I actually looked it up before we came back from break, and the guarantees aren't posted anywhere yet.
I mean, it really was breaking right when I told you. I was like, this joint just broke 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, about. But again, I understand why they did it. You have to do it, but hopefully the guarantees aren't crazy, not because I don't want a player to get paid, but from their perspective, he hasn't been able to get on the field. And that's another issue. So I have so many, which is sad. It's sad. It's sad that all my concerns about Green Bay are on the offensive side of the ball. Defensive is a whole other story because defensively they collapsed down the stretch after Michael went down. Like, you look at their numbers and their impact when Michael was healthy versus when he was injured, totally different defense. I mean, Jeff Hafley was a strong candidate for a really good head coaching job until Micah Parsons went down, all of a sudden his stock went down. So that's also something to keep in mind. Is it going to be Micah or bust again defensively? Because if it is, that's another issue. So we talk about this all the time, Johnny. If you stay stagnant in the NFL, you fall behind.
And
I think right now the Packers have fallen behind definitely the Bears, definitely the Lions, and unfortunately you can't fall behind those team with a 4'11" quarterback, but I digress.
True, that's a little Kyler over there in Minnesota. But when you start your career off like Matt LaFleur did, three straight 13-win seasons. But for me, the problem with Matt LaFleur is the fact that he's won 2 out of 7 playoff games.
Correct.
That's what hurts. That's what and when you have three straight 13-win seasons and get to the playoffs, you pick in late. And this is the youngest roster, if I remember correctly, in the NFL, is it not?
It is. You're right.
So that's what gives me also so much cause for pause when it just comes for the Green Bay Packers. Before I get out of here, I got 1 minute, Mo Schefter. Do want to ask you, Patriots or Bills, bro?
For the division?
For AFC East.
Because of the A.J. Brown trade, I am inclined to give the Patriots the edge at the moment.
Well, Bills fans will show up in Diana Rossini outfits, I'm sure, all year long.
Oh, guarantee it.
And it will be a lot of fun. Mo, tell everybody where they can find you and what you got coming down the pipe.
A couple things coming down the pipeline. I guarantee you we will see Diana Rossini go through the table at a Buffalo Bills tailgate one way or another. The Bears are officially moving to Indiana. Mo_views22 Instagram and TikTok. Love y'all.
Hey, love you, homes. You be blessed. We'll do it again soon. That is Mo Schefter. Now, we got a busy, busy day because, man, we just got 1 hour in the books. We got to go to hour number 2, NBA Finals. We got my girl Jordan. She's about to bring us some NBA info. But I got to give you a little info. You need to sell your house in the flash? Call my buddy Bill at iBuyHouses. It's Bill at iBuyHouses with our homie Lloyd Patterson, 901-406-1101. That's 901-406-1101. Any house, any area, as is. It really is as simple as that. Just pick up your phone, call 901-406-1101. Call my buddy Bill and Lloyd at iBuyHouses. We're back in 2 shakes, baby. Hour 1 in the books. Hour 2's gonna be fun. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.